So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we praise him for the new week and the new grace for this day. We are still in the book of Ephesians, and we are in Ephesians chapter 5. And you know, we've been looking at this aspect that Paul has been teaching us about, you know, living the Christian life. Remember, it's one thing to know the doctrine. It's one thing to be aware of, you know, of what Christ has done in you and for you. But it is another thing for you to actually be effective and to live the Christian life as a Christian. So one of the things that he takes us through the word is such that we are able to understand doctrine. We are able to be effective. And that is why we've been learning about all these instructions of how we were, you know, how we are supposed to live pure lives. There should not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And this is Ephesians chapter 5, then verse 4, it says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving, you know. So there is a language that as believers we must have, and this is a language that is void of obscenity. You know, you can be talking with people, and there are people who just naturally, their language is foul. You know, their mouth is foul, huh? And when they speak, they will just contaminate you, basically. You will just feel contaminated. And God is saying that there is a language that is fit for believers, and there's a language that is unfit. And so once you find we are speaking obscenities, then that is not for you. Because remember, your mouth is supposed to be used to glorify God. Your mouth is supposed to, you know, to give praise. It's supposed to tell the truth. And there are things that are improper for God's holy people. Look at that again. Foolish talk. Huh? You know, at times you are coarse joking. You know, at times you can be saying something and then you just say, I was just joking. But you see, with God, you know, the Bible says we shall be judged for every idle word that we speak. Now, that tells us that there's a point where you have to even balance your speech. There's a point where you just keep quiet. Not because you cannot speak, but because you know that every word that you speak shall be judged. We shall be judged for every idle word. And even the scripture says that in the multitude of words, there are lies. You know, no lie is lacking. That means at times when we struggle so much to speak so much or to tell so many stories, we find that we are actually lying. We find that we introduce jokes and we introduce things that are out of place. But he gives us the exchange of that. Instead of all that, let us be having thanksgiving. That means that if you just start to give thanks to God, if you just think of where you are, what God has done, how much he's given you, the grace for life, the abundance for life, the strength for life, then you can see that God is good, and you can replace your words in your mouth. And you know, the tongue, you know, in the Bible says the power of the tongue, the power of life and death is in the tongue. That means with our tongues we can kill ourselves, or with our tongues we can also bring life, you know. But also, even if you think about when people are in hell, there is something that, and this is Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man asked for Lazarus to just tip his tongue, his finger, and to dip water into his tongue. That means even in hell, the tongue was judged. And that it's like that was the hottest place, that he did not ask to be cooled for his leg, his hand, his face, his what, but he just asked for the cooling of the tongue, you know. So you can see how this tongue will not only be judged now, but also in the future. And when you start to learn this, that there is so much power in your words, in your tongue, then you learn to put a hold over your tongue. And even James, the book of James, tells us that anyone that is able to keep his tongue in check, under leash, is a perfect man. Is a perfect man. So there's a perfection that God expects us. And that tells us that it's not everything that you respond to. It's not everything that you react to. There are things that you see and you say, I've seen. There are things that you see and you live, not because you cannot respond, but because you know there are things that you can, you go higher, you understand, you forgive, you move forward. So the tongue is so powerful, and you see, if you even think about marriage, the way the Bible says, it is better for a man to live in the corner of a roof than to live with a quarrelsome wife. It's better for the man to find a roof up there, you know, in the corner of the roof than to stay with a quarrelsome wife. That means that the tongue of the woman is chasing away the man, you know, until the man finds it better to just squeeze in the corner of the roof. Likewise, too, even men, they can break down their women by their tongues. So through the same tongue, you can, instead of building up someone, you can use that tongue to curse, you can use that tongue to, you know, to break down someone, to put them down. And many marriages at times are broken by just words that are spoken in anger. And that's why the Bible is speaking about these fits of rage, this anger that is boiling up, that anger, man's anger does not bring about the righteousness that God deserves. When we have angered, when we've spoken in anger, it is important to humble ourselves. Ask for forgiveness. There are things that we've said in anger that are like holes, you know, holes in hearts of men. And no matter how much you say sorry, they will always come back. So at times it's always good. I mean, when you feel that thing is rising and you know you want to speak, it's good to walk away. It's good to take a breather, to go and think about it elsewhere. Why? Because words spoken many times cannot be taken back. And you might think it was anger, but you see, when you've spoken it, it will always be recorded in a memory. And that's the interesting thing. These things cannot be forgotten. So it is better not to speak if you know that your speaking will bring you trouble and it will hurt your fellow brother. Remember, this is instructions for Christian living. This is how now we are living this Christian life. These people who are seated with Christ in heavenly places far above, you know, we love to claim the promises. We love to claim, you know, what Christ has done, how powerful we are, how, you know, anointed we are, how much authority we have, how much we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. But then we forget that after you are blessed with all those spiritual blessings, you are called to now live the spiritual life, live a life of the light. You know, you are now a child of the light. And the Bible is telling us, verse 5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So you see, if anyone is behaving like, you know, is impure, is immoral, is greedy, these are things that are improper for God's people. And it's telling us you have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Remember, and this is something that we started learning in Bible study, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And we say that the kingdom of heaven is actually the kingdom of Christ that Jesus establishes for man, you know, where it's both heaven and earth, that union. But you see, the kingdom of God is overall, both the angels, you know, everything is under the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of Christ is specifically Christ's authority and the kingdom of heaven, of man. So if you want to be a part of this kingdom, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, if you want to see, if you want to live as a person of the kingdom of God, then there are things that you must live by. There are principles. You cannot claim the promises without living the principles. The principles are what give authority to the promises. God can give you a promise, but unless you walk in the principles, that even if the promises, even if the blessing come, even if someone has anointed you, you will never walk into those blessings unless you walk with the principles. You cannot be just saying, oh, me, I heal the sick. Oh, me, I do this. And yet you are immoral. Yet you are impure. And you see, purity is a state of the heart. You know, you can, the people who, their hearts are not pure. Yes, they are not committing adultery, but their hearts are not pure. They are just dirty inside. Greed. Can we balance our meals? Balance, you know, what we have, what we feel is enough. You see, the reason why people steal is because of greed. It's never enough. It's like digging a bottomless pit. You keep digging and digging and digging, and you never get to the end. And the Bible tells us, let no one deceive you, verse 6, with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Let us not be partners with them or partakers with them. That means that if you are a partaker with those who are disobedient, then you know that God's judgment will come on those who are disobedient. Christ has called us to righteousness. Christ has created us in true holiness and righteousness. He has given us things positionally. That is what we call positional righteousness. Then now you need to walk in it. Even Abraham was called, I have made you a father of many nations. And then God now tells him, now walk blamelessly before me. Genesis 17. Walk blamelessly before me and be upright. Then later the promises come. So there is a place where we are called to walk in obedience. Jesus healed the man who was lame 38 years. And then he told him, sin no more, such that nothing worse may happen to you. There is a place of walking in the promises of God, walking in the revelation that God has given you. You have to distinguish yourself as a believer. There are things that you'll be invited to and you'll just know that this is not for me. Whether someone will be happy or not, whether he's your boss or not, you just know this is not for me. And you just say, well, thank you for the invitation. I'm a bit busy. We'll see you in the office. There are things that you separate yourself. Why? Because you know that God has called you for a greater purpose. Verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And this is very powerful. Remember, because when you can think about it, that to God, or even in the spiritual world, remember, God is light. The Bible tells us God is light. The Bible also tells us God dwells in unapproachable light. The Bible also tells us that Jesus, when he came into the world, he is the light of the world. He was the light of the world that gave light to all men. And in him was light, and that light was the life of men. Now, when he became that light and people were walking in darkness, the Bible says, people walking in darkness have seen a great light. You know, the people in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, they have seen, they are walking in darkness, but they have seen a great light. But then now Jesus says, now that you are the light. Why? Because when the light of the world comes to you, now you are no longer in darkness, because you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of the light of his Son. And now when you enter the kingdom of God, you become light. And in the spirit, you are light. You are represented as light. And even that is why the Bible says, you shall shine as stars. Those that win many to Christ, those that mean many to righteousness, will shine as stars in the firmament. That means there is a place, there is a dimension in the spirit where we are as light. And that's why he's saying, but now you are light in the Lord. Anyone that is not of God is darkness, and they're walking in darkness. But now you are children of the light. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from the above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. That means God calls himself the Father of lights. Now, each of us are given a light. Now, you can be a light that is flickering. You can be a light that is bright. But everyone, God has given them a measure of light. But you see, as you shine so bright, as you represent the kingdom of God, the Bible says that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. So there is a dimension of us that we are called to live as light. We are the light in the Lord. And the Bible says, live as children of the light. That means there are things that we do in the light. There is a way that we live as children of the light. The Bible says, for the fruit of the light, that means there is a fruit that comes out of the light, or the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, I can just put it as the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Remember, there are things that characterize the spiritual walk, the spiritual man. You cannot be not in goodness or not in righteousness, not in truth, and you claim that you are living according to the light. If you're in the light, all things are light. That means that you take away everything that is associated with darkness. And you know, this is not a thing where you start arguing, oh, how far is too far? Is this too bad? Is it okay if I do this? The moment you start asking those questions, you already know that your conscience is telling you that this is already darkness. So this is not something that you argue about, because if you start arguing that, then you're already going to the edge. And once you're at the edge, you're already in darkness. So you must ask yourself, what is it that is inviting you to the darkness and making you do that? And the Bible says, verse 10, and find out what pleases the Lord. You know, what is acceptable to the Lord? There are things that are pleasing to God. There are things that are acceptable. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That means there are things that are not of God. There are things that are fruitless. They bear no fruit. They are deeds of darkness. And if there are things that are happening in the church, or there are things that people are doing, there are things that God is exposing, God is saying, rather expose them. And he says, it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light, or whatever is made, whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, it is said, wake up, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Remember, Christ is our light. You see, the way man is like man is a reflector of light. The light that we have does not come from ourselves. You can think of like the moon. The moon does not have light in itself, but the moon, the light it gives us is because of its alignment to the sun. Now, we too, based on our alignment to Christ, then we are able to shine the light. So when we wake up from our sleep, when we rise from the dead, Christ shines on us, and then everything becomes visible. That means the amount of light that you show is the amount of Christ that you reflect. Think of Moses. When Moses was beholding the glory of God face to face, when he will go into the inner chamber, into the tabernacle, and he will see the glory of God, the Bible says his face was glowing, and he will come out and the people were scared. So he did not even know that he was shining. So he put a veil over his face. But you see, the veil was not for him. The veil was for the people, because the Bible tells us, but each time Moses went back, he removed the veil and he kept looking at God face to face. That means that Moses kept growing in that glory of God. He kept reflecting the glory of God. And that's why the Bible says we too, with unveiled faces, we too like Moses. The way same way Moses was speaking to God with an unveiled face, we too ourselves with unveiled faces, as beholding the glory of God in a mirror, as if we are seeing the glory of God in a mirror, we are being transformed with an ever-increasing glory from one level of glory to another into the same image. That means that as we shine the light, as we receive the light of Christ, then we reflect it. We are glowing. You only glow to the level of the light that you have beheld. And how do you behold the light of God? By beholding the glory of God. How do you behold the glory of God? By your worship, by your spending time with him, by your study of the word, by hearing his voice. You see, there are things that God speaks to you. There, the understanding that you have of God is what you reflect to the world. The quality of your light is based on the quality of your understanding. Light is what makes manifest. Light is what that brings revelation. And that's why Paul prays for the Ephesians church. Ephesians 1:15-16 says that I pray that the eyes of your understanding be open, and that it be flooded with light, that you may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I tell you, when God pours out his light in you, the Bible tells us that entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. That means when light comes, you understand. You know what is the issue. You know why you are failing. You know what it is that you're missing. The reason why you're still an area of your life is still amiss is because light has not come. Light has not come. When light comes, then you'll understand why there is conflict in marriage. You'll understand why your child is still struggling in a certain area. You'll understand why a business or a workplace is not working. Because there's still darkness. That's why you don't understand it. But when you spend time with God, then light will shine. And light will reveal that which is missing. It's just when you wake up one day and you realize, I have not done this. I need to do this. That is light. God has shown his light. And that is the mercy of God to bring light of our situation. And many times, maybe you've been praying over a matter. You pray. You don't get the answer. But then, poop, light shines. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has made it manifest for you. So the Bible is telling us, wake up, sleeper. Arise, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. So if we need to live as children of the light, we must put away the deeds of darkness. We know they bear no fruit. We must live as we know we are the light, but now we need to live as children of the light. Know who you are, then live who you are. Know what Christ has done in you, then live that light that Christ has done. This is the place of character formation. Your character must align to the truth of the gospel. This is what God is calling us to. Anyway, I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. No additions from my side.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Thank you that indeed you're calling us to live as children of the light and indeed to have no partaking no partnership with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather that we expose them. I plead your mercies that indeed any areas of our lives that are not in order, any areas in our lives that are lacking, that need your light, that Lord, by your word, by your grace, by your power, by your anointing, that you reveal them to us, O God, that we experience light, we experience truth, we experience the grace of God. May your word be upon our lives, may your spirit be upon our lives. May your guide be upon us. We thank you, we honor you, and we give you glory. Bless your name. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom. Blessed day.